Good morning. I'm Jerry Yeager. Hey, did you get a bonus? You get a little bit of money come in that you maybe didn't expect? Is that time to go crazy? Or is it time to make a smart move with the money? Well, only you can decide that. But let's just assume maybe you don't want to be stupid and realize that you had some money last month and now it's all gone and you don't have anything to show for it. So joining me to talk about this, Diane Chaban, investment and wealth advisor with RBC Dominion Securities. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Okay, so you got the bonus. What would you probably tell people, well, don't go nuts, pay off. What would you pay first?
Well, I mean, you want to, if you worked hard for it, so you want to treat yourself with a little bit.
Okay.
Don't blow it all. And then if you're going to go and put that money to smart work, you're probably going to think about either wanting to pay off some debt. Most notably, your mortgage is where people generally talk to me about wanting to just put a lump sum against their mortgage, or you're going to invest that money. And the real decision always comes down to the opportunity cost of that money. And what I mean by that is you worked very hard for that money. And so how are you going to make it optimally work just as hard for you or even harder? And so when we're looking at the opportunity cost, you think, okay, well, I've got my mortgage rate. Maybe it's somewhere along the lines of 3 or 4%, or I've got my investments, which could be earning 6 or 7%, right? And so then you start to think, okay, well, I'm going to pay off something that's costing me less relative to something that could be earning me more. So that's the general thought process.
Well, then I would think, first of all, if you've got debt there, credit cards.
Yes, if you've got, now there's good debt and there's bad debt.
Yeah.
In my opinion, good debt is connected to a piece of collateral, so like a house, right? And so your mortgage is that long-term commitment. It's generally a much lower rate of interest that you're paying because it is backed by the value of your home.
And it should be appreciating.
Correct. And so think of that as an investment, of course, longer term. If you have a bunch of debt piled up that is costing you more than 10%, and you know, a line of credit could potentially be close to that. Visas are going to be the highest, generally 19.99%. And so then when you're going back to the opportunity cost concept, then absolutely, it's going to make more sense to pay off a 20% interest on a Visa than to invest that money.
Diane Chaban is with me with RBC Dominion Securities, and we're talking about should you come into a little windfall of money for some reason, what should you do with it? And if you're okay on your credit cards and other things, what about something like a TFSA or an RRSP, and how are those different?
Great. Those are really great registered vehicles or accounts to utilize if you're going to start investing. I'll explain the differences between the two, and then depending on your situation, it might make more sense to contribute to an RRSP relative to a TFSA.
Okay.
So we'll start with the RRSP. People are most familiar with that because it's been around for a very long time. The first bang for your buck that you get out of an RRSP is that when you make a contribution, it reduces your taxable income for that year.
Right.
So if you earn $75,000 in this taxable year and you make a $5,000 contribution, then it's going to reduce your marginal tax rate as if you earned $70,000 for the year. So you're going to get that instant tax deduction, which might actually lead to a refund.
Yeah.
And then you could take that refund and spend that money, right? Rather than just
invest that in a
TFSA or back into your RRSP for the following year and sort of supercharge your RRSP. So you get that first deduction by making the contribution into your RRSP just by reducing your tax level. And then it's going to grow tax deferred within your RRSP. And essentially what that means is if you're earning interest or dividends or capital gains within your RRSP, you're not paying tax on that upfront. It's being deferred for a very long period of time until you take that money out in retirement. So you're essentially doing your future self a favor,
right,
by letting that money compound for a long period of time. And compounding is like, you know, the eighth wonder of the world, especially when you have lots of years ahead of you. And then it gets taxed when you take it out in retirement.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that when you take it out in retirement, you're probably putting yourself in a much lower tax bracket than when you earned it in the first place. So while you'll still pay the tax, you'll be paying, let's say, 10% instead of 25% or something.
You're right. That's the name of the game. So try to reduce your tax when you're at your highest, you know, when you're in your prime income earning years, and then your income splitting with your future self, assuming that your retirement income is going to be at a lower level.
Yeah, it's a legal way to rip off the CRA.
Yeah.
I love that. It's tax avoidance, not tax evasion.
That's a really good way to put it.
Major difference there,
yes, yeah,
between the two. You don't actually buy an RRSP.
That's right. I have heard people say that before. I'm just going to buy some RRSPs. So you can't technically do that. So an RRSP is an account, just like your cup there, right? And they're going to put liquid into that. And then depending on what the liquid is, that's your cash. And within that, you're going to then buy investments within the RRSP. So you can then go and buy individual stocks. stocks or mutual funds or ETFs or bonds or GICs, whatever is going to be within your risk tolerance level and whatever is going to be advised by your particular investment advisor. But the RSP is just the account. You put money into that to make the contribution, and then you buy within it.
But I found out I had a small TFSA, mm-hmm. and I'm putting money into an RRSP. But all of a sudden, I needed some money for something. And the fact that it was in a TFSA, I could take it out and use it for whatever I wanted to use it for. With the RRSP, if I took it out, I pay a penalty.
That's right.
So you have to be careful not to lock up everything.
That's true. So let's circle up on the RSP as to how you can take money out of it if you need to, and then get into the TFSA on the features with that. So you're correct in saying that once the money goes into the RSP, it's essentially locked in for a longer period of time, because you do want to be investing in, you know, for retirement. You've got short-term, mid-term, long-term goals that you're always being mindful of. Now, once you put the money into an RSP, you can take it back out, but from a tax perspective, it's super punitive. You don't want to be doing it. It's going to get added back to your taxable income for the year. You're going to be you're burning that room. You're never going to get it back, and there could be administrative fees. So you can, the government does let you take money out of your RSP for a few reasons. The most common one is if you're a first-time home buyer and you're buying a home for the first time. And so you can take now up to $35,000 out of your RSP. It used to be $25,000. The government just increased it.
Okay.
And then you have a 15-year period to pay yourself back. So it's a really easy way to loan money to yourself without it being taxed to do the withdrawal. And then as long as you pay yourself back.
All right. Now, what if you have, like, your company has a group RRSP or pension plan, and then people say, well, I don't want to lock up any more money?
So my advice always is to really understand what your employer's program is like. If they're just setting up a group RSP and where they're enabling you to do savings directly from payroll, and you already have an RSP elsewhere, then maybe it's not so attractive. But then again, if you can just start saving money without noticing by having any sort of direct deposit situation set up, that's always ideal, because then you're paying yourself first without noticing. Where it really becomes a sweet deal is if your employer is doing what's called like a matching. So if you contribute $100 a month, then they'll match, you know, a certain amount, a percentage, or up to a certain dollar amount. That's free money on the table. Yeah. So absolutely, if you have that sort of perk within your employment program, then take advantage of it as soon as you can. And it can either be within the format of a group RSP or perhaps a pension program or even a stock option program within the firm.
You find yourself with a little bit of a windfall and deciding what to do with it. You can just blow it on a big party for you and your friends, or you can do something smart. Diane Chaban is an investment and wealth advisor at RBC Dominion Securities. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jerry. That was fun.